Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats and we're going to continue. Well done, thank you. Hopefully, parents, you've got some stuff for your kids. If it is some of the more noisy things, if you could keep them more towards that back corner, that'll help those who are listening here. We're listening to Jeff, but we're also listening to the Spirit, and sometimes that takes a little extra concentration, especially for those who are hard of hearing. So if you could do that, that would be great. As you know, we have the privilege of having Jeff Gowdy come to share the word with us this morning. Most of you will know him, but for those who don't, Jeff is a missionary here in town. He would probably graciously tell you that we are all missionaries here in town, but that's his full-time vocation, and it's a privilege to be serving in the same city together and praying alongside one another. And I asked Jeff a number of months ago if he would consider and pray about coming to speak here on Easter Sunday, but I really did emphasize to him, please don't say yes unless the Lord gives you a green light. And so with that understanding, he came back to me eventually and said, I feel like the Lord's giving me a green light here and a message. And so I say that both to sort of demonstrate some of the sensitivity that this man has towards the Spirit, but also then that we can come here in the confidence that, as I hope we do regularly, that the Lord has something here for us. And so I trust that the Lord has something here for you this morning and that he's going to use Jeff to bring that to you. So Jeff, would you come on up? Thanks so much for being here. Let's just pray for him and for our time in the Word. Lord, thank you so much for the work that you do in our lives and that we get to partner with you and partner together in sharing good news. And I pray that the experience that Jesus had would be the same that Jeff has this morning, where Jesus said in opening the word among those that were in his hometown, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I pray that you would do that this morning through our brother, and that would be our experience here of hearing favor and good news, experiencing freedom and release, experiencing your presence because you make yourself known through your Spirit and by your word. And so, Lord, have your way among us this morning. I pray blessings on Jeff, that he would have both clarity of thought and clarity in his speech, and that we would hear you in this. We are looking for you, Lord. Would you give us today our daily bread, and may this be part of that this morning. Have your way, and may the risen Lord Jesus Christ be exalted among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, brother.
Thanks for being here. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everybody. It's Jan and I just love coming here. We just want to say how thankful we are for every one of you here, for your support, for your prayers, for your friendships. We've got so many friends in Unity Baptist. And also, too, so many in this room, I'm going to share a little bit later, but who God has used you in our lives. And the message I want to share this morning is something God's been really, really speaking to me about. And I hope, I've said this before, it's very frustrating to try to come up here, and you know, especially at Easter, what Jesus, what God has done for us. You can't do that. You can't do it good enough. But I've asked God to help me to show a little light of how much he loves us, but also how much we should love him too. And there's two things that sort of where this message came from. First of all is Easter, of course. I don't think one day, I mean, of course, we don't just one day, on the Sunday do we... For weeks ahead, I love Easter because for weeks ahead, I think about what he's done. I read lots of passages on that, on what he's done for us. So Easter definitely has had a huge, and I want to speak on that. But there was a question. I have another friend who led me to the Lord. His name is Dale Callahan. He used to live here. He was a drug debt collector, and he just lived a life of violence, and God saved him. I mean, talk about a transformation. He saved Dale powerfully. And then God used him to lead me and my brother to Christ. And now he lives up in Grand Prairie, and but he comes down every once in a while. And when he comes down, if he has time, we'll get together and we'll pray for a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours in the back garage. And this time while he was here, this was about a month and a half ago while he was here, he asked me a question. He's really good at that. He does that all the time. And he said, "Jeff, what if a few years before Janny ever met you, what if someone would have come up to her and said, 'Janny,'" — Janny's my wife, by the way, if you don't know, who, "what if, Janny, you have two choices here. You can either marry a guy named Jeff Gowdy, or you can go to the gulags for 15 years. And I was telling someone this story, and they didn't know what the gulag — back in the day when you get in trouble in Russia, they'd send you to Siberia to the gulags, and that was a terrible work camp where you usually didn't leave from it. They worked you so hard, they killed you. They said, "Janny, you can either marry Jeff or go to the gulags for 15 years. And I thought, well, she probably would have married me. But he said, "You know, but wouldn't you think every time after that she only married me because she didn't want to go to the gulags?" And he said, "I thought about this with Benita too, and our wives love us so much, and we love our wives so much. But the thought just kept going through my mind is, I do not want to love God like that. I'm very thankful that he saved me from hell. But I don't just want to let my love get to that place where I'd rather not go to hell, but so I'll follow God." And so for every day after that he was at my house, I'm sure he was probably praying for me too, but I just thought about that quite a bit. What about God? Like, we do talk a lot, and we should. You hear this every once in a while: "God's not just loving me the way I feel he should be." Or things like that, where we're so centered on ourselves. And I thought, what about God? I know one of the greatest joys of my life is when Janny will look at me with great love. Or she'll do something because she just loves me so much. That just means so much to me. Or my children, when they, you know, they ask you, "What can we get you for Father's Day?" or "What can we get you for your birthday or Christmas?" And I'm just really, I can't think of anything. I don't want anything. I really don't. But their love. There's nothing, until you're a parent, you'll never know. But I'll just tell this quick story of the very first time I experienced a father's love. And I experienced it with all — I have six kids, I've experienced it with all of them many times. But the very first time was overwhelming. You know, I've noticed that the babies, when they first come into the world, they don't even know I'm there till about their two, or maybe a year and a half, maybe two. The mom is just like, I mean, but I remember when Anna, our first child, she was just getting to that age, she was just starting to talk and she was walking. And somehow, I was heading off to work one morning, and it was really, really early. And I don't know how she got out of her bed. I still don't know that one, but I could hear this whoop, 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 coming down the hallway. And I was in the kitchen just trying to quietly make my lunch. And all of a sudden, the whoop, 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 comes around the corner. And this cutest little kid with blonde curly hair, big blue eyes, and rosy cheeks just walks around the corner, and she just looks at me and she says, "Dah." That's all she said. Well, I was just finished. I could hardly go to work. I got to work and I was just so — that whole week long was that was enough for my week. It was just, I was, my love tank was filled to the very top. But I've thought of that. We don't think about God though. I want my life to be so in love with him that he's pleased, he's blessed. And so as I thought about that, God, I just want to love you. Show me how, and just fill me with a love for you. As I thought about him over Easter. And then I do this sometimes. I got thinking so much. I think. And I got thinking of that story. I didn't like that story about Janny would just marry me because she didn't want to go to the gulag. So I got thinking about, I'd like a different, and so I thought about it, how it, and you try to say something that might you know, remind you of God's love. But, you know, I just thought of this. I thought, well, what if someone came to her when she was 33 years old and said to her, you know, we got to tell you something. When you were 18 years old, you were going to go to the gulags for 15 years and you wouldn't have probably made it. You wouldn't have been strong enough. But this young guy, a little bit older than you, he heard about that you were going to go. And so he came to us and he asked if he could go for you. He was stronger. He could probably make it. But he didn't want you to go. He loved you. So you didn't know it, but he really loves you. And he asked if he could go for you. And now he's coming back. He's been there 15 years and he made it. And he's coming back, but he doesn't want to pressure you in any way. But he's asked us to ask you if you'd marry him. But if you don't want to, it's fine. And he won't bother you again. And I thought that then Jan would know how much I loved her. Because you lay down your life for the other person. And every time she'd look at you, you see how where one person lays down their life, it should lead to the other person laying down their life. But as I thought about it, I thought, that can't even scratch the surface. Someone, a husband or a wife, laying down their life for each other. But as I've been spending time over this next little while, just thinking about all that Christ has done for us, how he gave us the gift of choice. That is a tremendous, first he gave us the gift of this world. He created this world with just words. In his great power, he created the entire world for you and for me. He made this beautiful world for us. Then he gave us the gift of choice. You have a choice to follow him or not to follow him. That's the only way love can ever happen, is if you have a choice. Because he created us to have a love relationship with him. And then we took that choice and rebelled and threw it in his face, and we've rebelled ever since. We've turned from a holy God who can't even look at sin, the Bible says. It says in the Bible that he has to humble himself to look upon heaven, and he has to humble himself to look upon earth. He's so holy. And we just sinned and we sinned and we sinned. And his great love, he had a plan all the way through. He told us all, I love reading through the Old Testament of this beautiful plan he has. He planned all the way through that his own son was going to come to this world. And he did. And when you think of the humiliation of God himself, the Son of God, God the Son, leaving all of heaven's splendor. I was listening to a message this last week with Jan, and she was saying in there that the surprise wasn't like when Jesus was transfigured. That wasn't a surprise. That's who he really is. The rest of the time he was here on the earth, when he was just looking like a man, that's the amazing miracle. But here he was, God himself, the King of glory. He left all of splendor, and like it says in that hymn, he humbled himself and made him, and he emptied himself of everything but love. And the one who created the world had to work, had to get blisters, had to get blood and sweat. And then he lives a perfect life on our behalf all the way through. And then, knowing exactly where he was going, he went to the cross. And we talked about that. God himself went to the cross, was hung naked on a cross, and killed one of the most cruelest ways that we know as men, how to kill somebody. But that is nothing compared to at that moment when he took the sins of the entire world upon himself. He took the wrath of God upon himself. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every sin that was ever committed was put on Christ himself. And he satisfied the justice of God. And then he went and he was buried and he died. And then, of course, today, what we celebrate today, the most loving and the most powerful moment of all of history was when Christ went to that cross, and then he, in the greatest power on earth, he was risen from the dead. And he defeated every enemy that we have. He defeated hell. He defeated death. He defeated sin and he defeated Satan. And he rose triumphant in power, as we just sang and heard about today, for you and for me, so that we could go free. He took our sins upon himself so that we could go free. We talked about that before. That's the most unfair thing that ever happened. But that's love. He loved us. And he gave himself for us, the Bible says. And not only that, did he love you and went to the cross for you, and his Father gave him to us. But as we look at our own lives, our own personal lives, he worked in your life and he worked in my, he's been working in our lives all the way along. And he brought us to himself. And I still remember that day when he opened my eyes to my sin and to what he'd done for me and how he saved me. And I came to him for salvation. And not only did he save my soul, but he satisfied my soul. And if you know him, you know what I'm talking about. I'd spent 23 years destroying my life, and my soul was just totally bankrupt. I'd tried all sorts of things to satisfy my soul. And I came to God, and I trusted in his son Jesus to save me, and in a moment, I was satisfied. My soul was completely satisfied. He gave me the peace in my soul, a peace that passes all understanding. He gave me a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And ever since that day when I came to him, he keeps me. He helps me. He guides me. He gave me my wife. He gave me my kids. And I sit and I think, I have to try to love God? There's times where I come to a place in my life and I go, why don't I love you more? You've done everything. You've done everything for me. And I battle to love you. When he says, I've somewhat against you. You've left your first love. You wonder how that could even possibly be. Like, how could it be him that always loves us? He knows everything I've ever done. And I think, how could you still love me? He knows everything I've ever thought. And he still loves me. And it's him who waits for me to love him more. And you, that's just shame. Why on earth is he waiting for us? And then he tells us in the Bible that sometimes after we've become Christians, we can love the world again. You left the world and then you start loving the world again. And it's just like as if I couldn't even imagine if Johnny ever didn't love me anymore. And he said, it's just like if you committed adultery when you love the world to God. And we're so worried about, God should love me better. What about him? I really hope this Easter this year that that great love that he showed doesn't just lead to, thank you, God. It leads to an absolute head over heels love for him. Because really, Jesus told us that. This is what Christianity really is. It's God so loved us and Christ so loved us that Christ gave his life for us so that we could be saved, so that we could have a relationship with him. And then he says, if you want to walk and just, if you want to just sum the whole Bible up, just in a little bit, little capsule, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the first and great commandment. That's what God asks. We make Christianity so complicated. He says, I love you, and I want you to love me. And I want to have a relationship with you for now and for all eternity. And from when we love God with all our hearts, the fruit of that is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And so over these last month and a half, I've been, God, I want to love you more. And I'm so sorry that I don't love you the way you deserve to be loved. And I said, I asked him, Lord, would you just open my eyes to your love for me and help me to love you more? And, you know, I was praying about it, how I can love God more. And while I'm praying, Johnny's playing this sermon about Mary in the Bible. Not Mary, his mom, but Mary, Martha's sister and Lazarus's sister. She'd made a lot of mistakes too. She was a very immoral young girl and done sins that she too thought she should never be forgiven for. But every time you read that in the Bible, when you see her, And she comes into that room where Jesus is. She could care less what anybody else thinks. She walks into that room, and she knew who that was. She knew who it was. And she walks over, and she's got this alabaster box of, it's a year's worth of wages. And she takes it over to him, and she breaks it and pours it out, it says, on his head and on his feet. And she's crying so hard that there's enough moisture that she can wash his feet with her tears. And then she takes her hair and dries her feet, his feet with her hair. That girl saw who it was. And she loved him. And she poured out everything she had in worship to him. And then we see later about her. She's at another kind of a meal where Jesus is, and she knows who it is. And I'm sure she would have loved to have helped, but she knew who this was, and she was just going to sit at his feet and worship and get everything she could from him. And Jesus said, she's chosen the right thing, you know. And I thought about that, and I thought, how can I love him more? Is every day I want to wake up and be just like Mary. I want to wake up and I want to break my life open for him and pour it out to him in worship and in love to him. Here's my life. I give it to you. You gave me your life. Mine is nothing really, but I want to give you my whole entire life today. And I would encourage you to do that every single day. You wake up. Just be like her and give everything you have, everything you are to him. And then sit at his feet in his word, in prayer. And spend time alone with him. And say, Lord, I've emptied myself before you, and I'm asking you to fill me. I'm holding up my empty life, and I want you to fill me to overflowing. And I want to leave here today loving you. And if you remember in the story about Mary, when she did break that alabaster box and it got all over her too. I mean, she's wiping his feet with her hair and it got into her hair. And so it said that fragrance filled the whole entire room. And that's what happens when your life is broken and spilled out to him. There's this beautiful fragrance that happens in your life that you don't even maybe realize. But everyone smells it. And I told you about Dale, and that was one of the reasons why I came to Christ, is this violent, violent young man. He just came to Christ, and he fell totally in love with Jesus. He went from beating people to not even knowing if he killed them or not, to just loving people. And everywhere he went, there was this fragrance. He reminded me of that Mary. He just laid, his whole life was poured out to God, and there was a fragrance everywhere he went. And that's what happens when we totally abandon ourselves to him. There's this beautiful fragrance that others just see Jesus. And that's what happens when you've spent time with him. You leave his presence and they say about you, that guy, or that girl, she's been with Jesus. And then ministry just comes. It's not a big complicated thing. It's when you pour your life out to him, he pours his life into you. And I know in these last couple of months, or last month and a half, I've just been asking him, Lord, how can I love you? Well, he tells us in his word, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so sometimes when sin is knocking and you're tempted, I cry out to God, say, God, I want to love you. And I don't want to go there. This bad attitude or this bad whatever. I know for me, if I go out on the street, I'm not walking down the street and some lady walks by and I'm thinking, boy, I better keep myself from trying to marry her. I'm so in love with my wife, that thought doesn't even cross my mind because I love her. And I want to be so in love with God that when sin comes, I just cry out and I turn away from it because I love him. There's another place in the Bible where he says to Peter 3 times, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. There's times too where the last little while where you feel like I'm so tired and I don't want to. Give right now. But if you think of it this way, it's for him. That energy comes back. I want to love you, God, and so I want to feed your sheep. I want to help the people that need help. Or if there's someone that's not been treating you right, I've been doing this too. And you think, I don't even want to love them. They're being so mean. But God says, if you do it, if you love one of the least of these, my brethren, you love me. If you love your enemy, you're loving me. If you don't love your enemy, you don't love me. That changes everything. Okay, then. Because I love you, I'll love. You got to give me the grace to love this person. And I think what a way to live the rest of our lives. Every day, pouring your life out for him because he poured his out for you. Spending time at his feet and leaving his presence with that beautiful aroma of Christ. And everywhere you go, they smell it because you got your hair is filled. I mean, can you imagine that kind of tears and just wiping his feet? But that aroma will go with you. And then just looking for ways to feed his sheep, feed his lambs, to love those people around you. So this year I really wanted Easter not just to be me realizing how much he loves me, because he does. I could never tell you how much he loves you. But I wanted that love for me that he has for me to turn into a love that I have for him. Every day we'd worship him and we'd love him like when our children love us or our wives love us or however. That we'd love him that way. We'd spend time with him throughout our days. And that we'd go out and we'd serve him with all our lives because we love him. So I'd just like to pray for us that God would help us. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time of year where we can just remember. You are just such a great God and you love us so much. And we want to just thank you and we want to just ask you, Lord, to help us. First of all, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for when our love grows cold for you. Forgive us when our hearts get hard towards you. And cleanse us. And Lord, I just pray that you would just open our eyes to you and how much you love us because of this great sacrifice that was made for us. Excuse me. And then I pray, Lord, that we would learn to grow in our love for you. That you'd help us every morning, every day, to come before you like Mary did. And just pour our lives out to you in love. And Lord, that you would just then, as we empty our hearts, empty our lives to you, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. You'd fill us with your love. That the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that we'd know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. We pray, Lord, that we'd be just filled with your love every morning. And it would come back to you in worship. And it would also come back to you as we love those around us. We'd show our love for you as we love those people around us, even the unlovable. That we'd love our families, we'd love our wives, we'd love our husbands, we'd love our kids, we'd love our parents. But Lord, that it would be your love flowing through our lives. And that beautiful fragrance that when Mary broke that alabaster box open and that fragrance filled the room, that everywhere we'd go, your fragrance would go with us. And that people would see you and they would fall in love with you too because of how much we love you. So Lord, we just pray for that simplicity again. That our Christian life, that if there's any of us in this room our hearts have gone cold, that after today our hearts will be warmed again and we'd be fall head over heels in love with you again. And that we'd walk with you and serve you. So Lord, bless each one here, but most of all that you'd be blessed, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jeff, thank you for sharing with us this morning. I think one of the things that I heard from that is that I can't tell my story without telling about God's love for me. And that the story that people see in my life had better be a story of my love for him. Thank you so much for sharing and challenging us with that this morning to go back to first love. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. It was great to have a full band today. Thank you so much for putting that together. Thanks for being here, friends. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be yours in increasing abundance today because of your risen Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace, my friends. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. Thank you.